Well, hello again, and welcome to another episode of the Hyperion Adventures Podcast. I'm Tom. As always, I'm with my gorgeous, intelligent, very hardworking Marvel Day at Sea loving wife and co-host, Michelle.
Thank you, sweetie. Hi, everybody.
So good to have you with us. We are recording this episode on Saturday, March 9th.
What?
I know. And it drops on Sunday, March 10th. 2024. Why are we recording on Saturday?
Do tell.
Well, it's because we were so excited once we got off our Marvel Day at Sea cruise to speak with you about it all. Of course, that's it. Also, we may have something going on Sunday, like a little trip to, the Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival, and maybe D23 celebrating 15 years, something like that going on.
Some event.
So that may take up our time when we would normally record on Sunday, but we can't wait to talk about our wonderful cruise with you. So we had to make sure and get this going and on the air for you on a Sunday morning.
Exactly.
Or whenever you may listen to us. It may be Monday, Tuesday, next week, next month, next year. Who knows?
Who knows?
But we hope you enjoy it whenever you're listening to it. Thank you for joining us today, whatever day it might be. In the future, you can find us most everywhere you get podcasts. However, the very best place to find us is on our own website, HyperionAdventuresPodcast.com. Also, we are on social media. We are on Twitter. Twitter at Hyperion Podcast, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Hyperion Adventures Podcast. If you are on Facebook, come on over and join us for some good, positive Disney energy fun on our Hyperion Adventurers Facebook group. Also, we're on YouTube. If you want to find us there, we're at Hyperion Adventures Podcast. And if you ever want to contact us for any reason, please hit us up at our Gmail account, HyperionAdventuresPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, we love connecting with you in all of those ways. If you have a particular topic you'd like us to address, contact us through any of those ways.
Yep, any of those ways. The Gmail account, is a very good way to do that. But any of the ways you want to slide into our DMs on social media, we're cool with that, mostly. or if you just want to hit us up live and out loud in front of everybody on social media, we'll be happy with that. But we'd love more topics. We want to do what you want to listen to here on the show. So whatever you like, hit us up. Maybe we'll give you credit for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, maybe it'll be a topic on an upcoming show. Now, before we get into this week's main topic, we always like to take a little pause and take a little look back at the week that was, because we are the Disney Podcast of Positivity, the Disney Podcast of Positivity. And we like to focus on those high moments, those exceptional moments, those wonderful moments, those positive moments from the prior week. And we call that my favorite thing from this week. And when we do this, we always start with Michelle because she's wonderful. She's fantastic. She's spectacular. She's all things great in the world. You know, she does the best lists. I'm telling you right now, she picks out the best cruises. You're going to hear about that in a little bit. She also has the best my favorite thing from this week. So Michelle, what is your favorite thing from this week?
Well, the long and short of it, obviously, is the cruise that we were on. But I thought I'd share a little story about something that made the vacation a little bit more of an adventure. And I think it was kind of what helped contribute to make it my favorite thing of the week. And that had to do with our plans to go to Remy's, the French restaurant that is at on on the Fantasy and on the Dream. Mm-hmm. We are planners, especially myself. Anybody who knows me, I do spreadsheets. I list all the clothes I'm going to wear, down to the details of accessories,
et cetera. Just see her at any of the festival food guides she has. She has it all plotted out, believe me.
Yes, I go through a lot of planning and everything. I mean, obviously, I know that sometimes flexibility has to be the ruler. But, for this particular one, we decided, what would be the best night to do it? And we thought, all right, pirate night, because that's a menu we're okay to skip this time and everything. So on the night that we could make the advanced dining reservation, which for Platinum members is 120 days or 4 months before the cruise, right there at midnight, I'm there at the computer signing on. on, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to pick the reservation time that mimics our late seating dining room reservation so that, you know, we're in the same pattern that we are the rest of the cruise. You know, we know when we're going to have to get ready, you know, for that night, for me, makeup application, et cetera. You know, so a lot of time planning for this 8 o'clock dining reservation. Okay, let's fast forward to the cruise, and it's the day of, so I think it was day 3 on the cruise, and you asked me, what time is our Remy's reservation? Where I quickly said 8 o'clock, you know, and my thought was you just want a confirmation of that. But then you said, well, according to the Disney Cruise Line app, it says our reservation is at 6:15. I mean, stopped me dead in my track, and my brain just started going a buzz with a million different questions. Like, did I make a mistake? Let me check the printed spreadsheet hanging by a magnet on our in our cabin. Nope, that says 8 o'clock. Was the app wrong? Do we trust it? Did we miss a call or a message from, you know, the restaurant? Something else come up? Did, you know, if we go at 6:15 all dressed up and it's not the right time, will they turn us away? Fortunately, you, honey, the voice of reason, just said, well, I don't have a problem with that time. And if we arrive early and they have a problem with it, we'll say, well, we followed the app. So again, my mind went abuzz thinking, well, this might work out because we can skip that afternoon snack to hide, you know, to kind of tide us over till late dinner. And hey, maybe we could even be done in time to watch at least the fireworks, if not the pirate deck party. So let's go with it. Well, we arrive 6:15. The maitre d' warmly welcomes us. He even acknowledged that he knew this wasn't our first time at Remy's and welcomed us back home, guided us to our table, which was the one that is, they have a panoramic view, floor to ceiling windows facing the ocean. And right away I noticed, wow, the sun is about to set on the horizon. So, you know, maitre d' introduced our server, who also pointed out, he said, look, you're just in time for the sunset. The boat is in the ship is in the perfect position to watch it. And lo and behold, we sit and see a beautiful sunset. And also, since no one else was seated after we were, and there was only about, what, 6 other tables that were filled, we were the last ones in the restaurant. Everybody else was gone at the end of our meal. So if it wasn't for that switch up of that earlier seating, we wouldn't have been able to experience seeing the ocean and the sun setting on the ocean with our dinner and being all alone in a very special place. So I think that was an adventure that turned out well for us.
It did turn out well, very well. And we'll get more into it, I'm sure, as we get into our main topic of the week. But yeah, that was a little bit of a change up that we weren't expecting, but it did work out very well for us, for sure. We got a couple of those little change ups that we weren't expecting, but we were able to go with the flow, and that was it worked out just fine.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that was one of my favorite things. The entire cruise was my favorite thing from this week. I mean, I could pick out some, you know, a few moments from it, but everything about this cruise, you're going to hear all about it here coming up very soon. It's my favorite thing from this week, no question about it. So let's go ahead and move on to this week's show. We have lots of stuff for you this week, including you will soon be able to travel to new destinations in a galaxy far, far away. How could that be? We'll tell you in just a little bit. And what we consider one of our favorite kind of underrated Disney Plus series is getting set to make a return. We'll tell you what that is and why we're excited about it as well, coming up in a little bit. But that's later. Let's go ahead and get to our very marvelous main topic of the week. So of course, for this week's main topic, if you follow us on social media, if you listened to the show before, you knew how excited it was for us to get out on a Disney cruise once again for our Marvel day at sea, sailing aboard the Disney Dream. Right, Michelle?
That's right. It completed for us the chance to be on every current ship that Disney has.
We've got about 8-9 months where we will have sailed on every Disney ship until the Disney Treasure, of course, debuts here coming up in December. And then we'll be behind again by one and trying to figure out how we're going to get aboard that one. And then after that comes the Adventure. And I don't know how we're going to get aboard that one, but that will be, we'll probably get aboard the Treasure, I think, fairly soon. But the Adventure might be a little tougher. But that's later. For now, we've closed it out. We've sailed on every Disney ship, and boy, do we have thoughts about them all.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And we're not going to discuss all the thoughts on them all this time, but we will discuss our thoughts of our 5-day Marvel day. It was 5 nights, technically 6 days. Really, it's 5 days because that last day is, you're just getting off the ship. Yeah. It is not really a day.
Your cruise is done. Come on.
5 days, 5 nights, Marvel day at sea, cruise aboard the Disney Dream. And this one sailed out of a port that we've sailed out of before, but I don't believe we've ever sailed a Disney cruise out of this port, which is Port Everglades, also known as Fort Lauderdale in Florida. Michelle, what were your initial impressions of Port Everglades?
I actually was thrilled with it. I don't know if it was just early on learning through the process for Fort Lauderdale's port or just some people who, YouTubers or whatever, who put out some, you know, somewhat negative reviews of the process for Disney Cruise Line, but it was nothing but smooth, the smoothest sailing for us in terms of the port arrival, getting there, getting our luggage checked in, parking, all the way through to walking onto the ship.
Yeah, it worked out extremely well. We decided to go ahead and park right there at the port. It's $20 per day to park there. But we decided the convenience of that, it's covered parking. And there were some less expensive options that weren't that far away, but it wasn't saving us that much money for a shorter cruise, a 5-night cruise. Right. Plus, you know, having to catch a shuttle both ways and timing it all right. It for the convenience of it all, for about $30 difference, it was worth it for us to stay, to park there. And we couldn't have been happier with that.
Right.
As Michelle mentioned, boarding was really, really simple there for us. By the way, they've done a great job of decorating that port.
Right.
For knowing that Disney Cruise is going to be sailing out of there regularly for the foreseeable future. They've added a lot of things. They've decorated it well. Mm-hmm. It really does feel like, I'm not going to say it's Canaveral. It's not Port Canaveral for Disney Cruise, but it's probably the best I've seen them decorate one of these other cruise terminals that we've sailed out of with Disney Cruise.
Right. It didn't look like makeshift temporary kind of decor. It did seem that they had, you know, committed to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we were very happy to see that, you know, because a lot of times it's just a generic port entry with some Disney signage around. And that's about the only thing that makes it Disney. But that was not the case with Port Everglades. Now, boarding, as Michelle already mentioned, very simple. We were able to get in there. We showed up right about our arrival to our port arrival time, which was 11:45 in the morning. Right. Zipped through there, got in line. At first, we went the wrong way. We saw it was Castaway Club members, which we are.
Right.
And so we got in that, and we noticed that line was rather long. We're like, well, you know, it's strange. But then I noticed across the way they have a spot for Platinum and Pearl. We are not Pearl, but we are Platinum.
Right.
And we were able to go over that way, got right to the front of the line, right through, and zipped through that portion of it. And right as we got through, they were calling our group, and we were able to walk right on board.
Yeah.
We couldn't have timed it better.
Right, right. You're exactly right. We couldn't have even tried to time it better. It was just perfect timing.
Right.
So unusual, but perfect.
I want to flash forward just a little bit since we're talking about the port now. And, you know, I don't like to talk about the end of the cruise ever. But I do want to talk just quickly because I don't think we'll touch on Port Everglades anymore during this. But what did you think about it for disembarkation and how that went?
I think it went also very smoothly. They call you by groups that you have luggage tag by characters. So and it seemed to once each time they would call a group, it would, you know, obviously fill up quickly, but they did get everybody off very quickly per group. And I thought that was pretty smooth, easy to find luggage by categories as well, because they have that designated appropriately. So it's just kind of matching.
Right. We were, and that's the way it is with all Disney cruises, is they call you by your luggage tags. Or if you want to just walk off with your luggage, you could be the first ones to get off the ship. We happened to be Blue Donald, which ended up being is either the last or near the last group that was called to the ship. So I don't know if that played a part in it as well, but we were able to get off the ship very quickly, very smoothly, found our luggage right away, went through immigration. And I love that they had a facial recognition to put you through immigration. So you didn't have to stop, bring out your passport, show the immigration officer there and everything. It was just go up there, look into the camera. It gave you a green check mark and you just walked right out. It was really, really simple.
Yeah, definitely very, very simple. And, you know, kind of going back with the departing group that we were associated with, probably had to do with the fact that we didn't have flight reservations or hotel bookings to go somewhere else post cruise. And so I think they generally give you your assignments based on what some of those plans are, because you do have to include that when you're doing check-in.
Sure. Absolutely. We couldn't have been happier with how everything went at Port Everglades. Very happy that our next cruise is sailing out of there too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we love Canaveral. We're closer to Canaveral, honestly, from where we live. But the fact that Port Everglades isn't that far away, and they've done some great things to make that very Disney feel, Disney Cruise Line feel. We're very happy with that. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, as we go through this recap, we're not going to go day by day on what we did on the ship, because most days will be boring for you. But we are going to hit the highlights, and we will eventually get to the big day.
Right.
The one that is the name of this cruise, the Marvel Day at Sea. We'll get to that later on. So you know, if you don't want to listen to all this, I think you'd want to, but you can skim ahead a little bit. But so we got on board the ship, did our usual stuff, got some food, got, of course, had to get a cocktail really early when you're on the ship. Got to get that umbrella drink. Got to our cabin, and Michelle had found a wonderful cabin, and we helped to book it through our great friend Nate, of course. And we have an excellent cabin, and one that you may want to consider if you can find it available on an upcoming cruise aboard the Dream or aboard the Fantasy, because they're virtually sister ship. They are sister ships. So you could find this cabin as well. So we had cabin number 5650. Michelle, what made that cabin a little bit better than some others that we might find on there?
Well, it has an enormous balcony. And when I say enormous, we were able to fit two lounge chairs and two other full-size chairs outside, plus a little table, and still had plenty of room along all sides of all that furniture. They have that also on the other side, but you're bumping up against the kids. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if it's the Ocean Air Club or Lab, but there's
They're right by there.
Right. Yeah. So this is on the starboard, on the opposite side, the starboard side of the ship. And it is the only room that it's actually double wide because of how it's designed, where you have the outside veranda that is consuming where an indoor, I think it's where Bippity Boppity Boutique is situated.
Yeah, I think I couldn't tell if it was Bippity Boppity Boutique is right by there, but also the extension of the clubs might be pushing up against there too, the back of that. You don't hear them, I think that might be a portion of it as well. I couldn't tell for sure, but yeah.
If you think of having two cabins wide of veranda and then it extended out further beyond that, at least double, if not more.
Yeah, it is the balcony was nearly as large as our cabin, and we had it's listed as a deluxe family cabin. So if you're looking for it, so you will be paying a little bit more from a regular balcony, but the room is about the same size as a regular balcony veranda cabin.
Right.
But that balcony is enormous, and we got there, and unfortunately, they didn't have the full-size loungers out there. We did have four chairs and a table that would have been comfortable for us, but there was plenty of room for those loungers. And right. we'd heard they used to have those loungers out there. So as soon as we got there, we're like, you know, we actually had Nate check on this ahead of time, right. call Disney and ask if they were going to be there. Disney clarified, yes, they will be there. They should be there. If not, speak to somebody. So that's what we did. First, I texted Nate because Nate's on it. Nate is always on right. it. He was immediately on the phone with Disney asking about it. We went to guest services to back that up as well. We had to do a couple other things too, but we wanted to make sure and back that up. Between the two of us, we kind of divided and conquered right. and we got them. We had, I think it was the assistant hotel director in our cabin checking out our space and saying, yes, we'll get those for you.
Right.
By the evening, we had those two full size yeah. loungers in our room. Thanks to Disney. Thanks to Nate. And of course, it always helps to just ask and be friendly when you
right.
ask.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was fabulous.
Yeah. Worked out really well because we spent a lot of time on those lines. Not as much as I expected because we were really busy on this cruise.
Right.
But we did spend a fairly amount of time, especially in the mornings, on those loungers
exactly.
out there on that deck. So anything else about the cabin you want to point out? It was pretty much your traditional mm-hmm. Disney Cruise Line cabin. Spacious enough, but not like a huge room.
Right.
But the balcony was magnificent.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we got a lot to talk about. So I'm going to
okay.
think.
Yeah. Like I said,
you covered it nicely.
Not much. Let's go ahead. And what we really like to talk about, of course, that's the food.
Yes.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the food. We did try some various different options for food. Of course, we tried the main dining room, the buffet. There's some other spots as well. What did you think about the main dining room? So the dining rooms there are Animator's Palette, as they are on every cruise line, mm-hmm. or every cruise ship, I should say, Disney cruise ship, the Enchanted Garden, and the Royal Palace
right.
were the rooms. What did you think about the dining rooms, and what did you think about the food in each room?
I think they're great. I love the fact that you can have as many servings of everything. There was one night I think we had 3 appetizers along with our entrees and everything like that. I mean, the serving sizes are reasonable so that you can do that and try different things. And, so I think they have great menu selections. And it was definitely enjoyable being in their dining rooms.
And by the way, I did misspeak before. Animator's Palette is on the original 4 ships. It is not on the Disney Wish. So my bad on that. It was the dining room is what you expect. You know, there's a lot of the same menus you've seen on board the other Disney cruise ships. Mm-hmm. If you sailed on them, it's hit and miss on their food, but, we really like the food at Royal Palace.
Right.
We've done Animator's Palette many times. So we had something else going on that night. So we didn't do the regular menu on Animator's Palette. In the Enchanted Garden we did, and we enjoyed that dining room, I think, very much. And the food was fairly good there.
Right, right. I mean, it's kind of hard for us to compare because we did start off with some very special dining.
Which we'll get to in a moment.
Right. Yeah. So 2 out of the 5 nights that we were there, we had, elevated dining experience through the additional restaurants that they have there. So I think sometimes that may have influenced, but I thought that they did a great job of having the food. It was always a good temperature and a good variety.
I'll say it again, I think we've said this before, though. I feel like Disney, while I wouldn't say their dining room has, their food is the best we've ever had on a cruise ship.
Right.
Their dining room food has elevated over the last few years. I think it's a bit better than it used to be. And, I don't think Disney ever focused on their dining room food, knowing that about half of their patrons, half of their guests are probably eating mac and cheese
right.
and buttered noodles and yes. chicken tenders most of the time.
Right.
So, but I think they've realized over the last few years that maybe we could up our game a little bit for
sure.
the adults on board, and they might enjoy that a little bit more. And we certainly have. What was your favorite of the dining rooms we visited, do you think, for the ambiance? Just the ambiance alone, not even talking about the food.
I think for the ambiance, I would say Enchanted Garden mm-hmm. had the nicest ambiance because they did have a ceiling that would go from looking daylight to sunset. And so it was kind of nice and cozy.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like that. We did have a pretty good seat there and was kind of near the entrance, but that was kind of great because it allowed some of the noise to be maybe dissipated that we experienced,
right.
especially in Animator's Palette. It was a very noisy
yes.
Restaurant. But yeah, the transition of it. One, it's just kind of beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's an enchanted garden, and they try and make it look like that. And there's the fountain there right in the middle. But the transitioning to kind of an evening time feel as the meal progresses is always nice. So we like I said, we didn't do the Animator's Palette show that we would normally do. But we've been there before, and we know what that's about. Right. And it's great. You shouldn't miss it if you've never experienced
yes.
it.
Yes.
But we've done it a few times, and we had some other things going on that we will be talking about in a moment, as Michelle already mentioned. Other options, of course, there was Cabana's Buffet. Mm-hmm. Food there was, as you would expect from any buffet, hit and miss.
Right.
Some things were pretty good. Some things, take it or leave it. We didn't eat a lot of meals there. Our first day lunch we had there, we had some... few breakfasts there. Mm-hmm. But other than that, we weren't spending a lot of time there. They also have some other food options out there on near the pool deck where you can pick up salads, sandwiches, burgers, chicken tenders, pizza, just a lot of quick stuff that's available throughout the day. We didn't hit that a lot, but we did get some sandwiches one day, some French fries. And I did see a lot of the food, and it looked like your regular Disney cruise. They're chicken tenders. I'm surprised I didn't get any chicken tenders this time, because that's usually one of my favorite things to get aboard a Disney cruise.
Yeah, their chicken tenders are so great.
It just didn't work out what we were doing this time, but love their chicken tenders and fries, or chicken fries as Scott would know it. I did enjoy the sandwiches we got from there.
Yeah. I thought, for quick service, it was very tasty.
Yeah, that was good. You got a mushroom sandwich, mm-hmm. panini, and I got a prosciutto and tomato and mozzarella panini, and I thought that was very tasty.
Very good.
Definitely. Now on to the other dining options that we went to, the really, really nice dining options and pricey dining options that we experienced. First night out, right off the bat, we got a reservation for Paolo dinner, and we were very excited. What did you think about Paolo dinner first night out, Michelle?
I was so impressed with it. I really love it. They have two types of menus that you can choose from. You can either do a fixed price, I think it's 3-course meal, or a la carte. And so we did the a la carte this time and just really enjoyed it. It was a good flow of what we had ordered and how it came out. And it was so delicious and wonderful. And what really made it nice, because we are platinum, is it was free.
well,
not for the
partially,
alcohol.
Partially free, yes. We did order a couple nice glasses of wine to go along with our meal. Our server, Vanessa, she was wonderful in suggesting some wines and some food options for us to go through, and we loved everything that we ate there. It was a fantastic meal, fantastic way to start off our cruise. Paolo is always a hit.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm a bigger brunch person at Paolo than I am a dinner person at Paolo, but I was very happy with our dinner that we had there that night.
Yeah. I actually have to say, I think this time I enjoyed the dinner just slightly more than the brunch.
That says a lot there. That says a lot. Speaking of brunch, we did also have a Paolo brunch. Mm-hmm. That was later on in the cruise. We had I think that time shifted maybe two. We had like a 10:30 in the morning. I think originally it was supposed to be 11 and it ended up being 10:30, but that's okay. It all worked out just fine. Paolo brunch has changed a little bit. If you haven't been recently, they're no longer doing the buffet style where you can go up and just grab a bunch of stuff. But you can still get a lot of the stuff you enjoyed from that buffet portion of it. You can still get, they have some antipasto plates that come out that you can order. A lot of other different items, the pastry basket or a bread basket, just depends on what you prefer. What did you think of Paolo brunch? I know you said you thought dinner beat it this time.
Yeah. I think it was very tasty. And again, it's that one is a single price for all you can eat for that brunch. So you could continue to ask for more food.
Mm-hmm. Boy, did we.
Yes. Try different items. So I think the only, like Tom said, that you get this pretty much what you were getting before in the buffet style of Paolo's. I think the only difference is the, if you go all the way to dessert, they have a couple choices for dessert, not like before in the buffet where you had so many different choices.
You can get these little bites of different things.
Right. Yeah. This is a regular size portion of a dessert.
Yeah, I think that was the only thing that was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
But everything else I thought was great. I could also see it aboard, like, you know, when you're on the Wonder and the Magic where they had the buffet, it was easy access from virtually everywhere you could be seated in mm-hmm. that room. If you've ever done Palo back from when they had the buffet in either the Fantasy or I assume it was the same way in the Dream, they kind of had the buffet way at the end. So if you had a table at the front, you're going all the way up there, right. getting the food, bringing it all the way back sure. and so forth. So in some ways, this was actually much more convenient. Mm-hmm. And we had, again, Vanessa was our server and she was wonderful and sweet again and really appreciated it. Loved it. Loved Palo. Loved both the meals. Very happy that we were able to get them done. I do want to mention one thing that we found very, very funny. Because there is a formerly a server, now a hostess at Palo, who has been, we figured it out because we were thinking about it. She has now been on our last four Disney cruises and they've been all on different ships, which is the weirdest thing about it.
Yes.
So her name is Judy. Frank and Jen Dillo from Dillo's Diz. You know Judy, if you're listening. she was with us on our COVID cruise on the Panama Canal cruise that struck when COVID went crazy right in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. That was on the Wonder. She was with us when we finally got back to cruising on our Christmas cruise on the Fantasy.
Right.
She was there when we were on the Wish not that long ago. I think she had told us that she actually helped open that one up or get that one out for sailing. And she was there as our hostess on the Dream.
Right.
It was the funniest thing. Now we have another cruise coming up on one of the ships that haven't mentioned out of those four. If she is on that cruise too, there's something going on.
I know. Crazy, crazy, but hilarious seeing her again.
Yeah. So funny. So funny. On to the next fine dining place that we ended up hitting up this time. And you know, we love to every once in a while splurge. Mm-hmm. And this is a splurge.
Major.
But boy, is it incredible. Yes, we did hit up a one night dinner at Remy. It was pirate night. We decided the pirate menu is okay. That's a good night to go hit up Remy. Yes, the time changed as Michelle told you about earlier, but it all worked out perfectly with the sunset and everything. Michelle, we have been to Remy twice before. We have been to Enchanté. Mm-hmm. What did you think about Remy this time?
Oh, it was fabulous. It was fantastic. It is incredible food. And I remember talking to our server, Marco, and I said, you know, I can't think of a way to describe this experience to people who have never had the opportunity. You know, the best I think we can do is kind of compare it to what you would imagine at Victoria and Albert at the Grand Floridian. But he even said, you're right. There is no way to describe it adequately. People just need to experience it.
Yeah. And it's not cheap. It's very, very expensive. We get lucky that we actually save up a lot of our Disney Visa rewards points. Right. And this is like what we put a ton of it to on our cruises. That's how we've been able to do this. I think we've only paid for it completely the very first time we tried it. Ever since then, we've been using our rewards points towards it. And it helps, believe me, cut into the cost, which can be very, very expensive. You can find ways to change that a little bit. But if you want to go the full deal, it's pricey. It really is. But it is one of the most magnificent meals you will ever have. And like you, Michelle said, you can't explain why. You know, the you can talk about the ambiance of the restaurant itself. You can talk about the phenomenal service. Marco, our server, was spectacular.
He only had one other table.
Yeah. Many great servers. The food is amazing. You just can't describe how all these flavors and textures and also just the presentation, how they work together, but they do.
It's so intricate.
Yeah.
It always has, like Tom's saying, special details, like whether it's certain sauces or accompanying, you know, like just little dots of flavor that you can mix things with or just do things to make it even come together even more deliciously.
Yeah. It's hard to explain, you know, and then he threw in the fact that Michelle mentioned earlier that we were the last ones seated there. someone ended up at the end of it all, we had like 40 to 45 minutes at least where we were the only ones. Right. It was like our own restaurant. Yes. It was like just for us. It was
very
so
VIP.
Romantic and wonderful. It was amazing. Again, Remy is very expensive. Get that. It's not for everybody. Right. Not everybody gets the chance to do it. But if you can save up, if you can use those Disney Visa reward points, if you just feel like splurging on something romantic, wonderful, incredible for, you know, maybe even just a one time in your life, it is extremely worth it to check out Remy if you're aboard either the Disney Dream or the Disney Fantasy.
Right. And the one thing, you know, as I compared it to Victoria and Albert, it actually, as expensive as it is, it isn't quite as expensive as that. I guess
creeping up there.
Yeah.
Right.
But anyways, yeah, it is a phenomenal, unique experience. The detail that they go into, you know, like when we went to sit down right away, Marco said, oh, let me change out the napkins because we both were wearing dark attire. So he didn't want like, you know, light colored lint to be left on our clothes if anything was, you know, from the napkins. And they have a little very pretty stool next to the table for that I could put my purse on, you know, just a lot of little details. If you were to, you know, they're trying to create the ambiance of a very elegant Parisian restaurant. And that's really what they do well.
Well, I mean, the chefs that they have involved in it, one is a 3-star Michelin chef. Right. One is the chef from Victoria and Albert.
Right.
And they both put together sample menus, but you can also order a la carte. They have wine pairings, which go with that those menus, but you can also order a really, really nice bottle of wine.
Right.
There are all ways you can work around it, but it is exquisite. It is wonderful. Again, it's a splurge. It's
right.
a major, major splurge. But if you can dig up the money, if you can save up the money, whatever you want to do, again, value is value to everybody. What's valuable to us is not value
right.
to anybody or not necessarily valuable to anybody else. For us, it's worth it to do this every once in a while, these
right.
great times when we get the chance to do this.
Yeah. And one of the things we noticed this time is that, yes, they've had the wine pairing before with each of the courses. However, they also have now a zero alcohol offering for pairing with the meal. If you don't want alcohol, you can go that route. It's a lot less expensive, but they do then offer some specialty mocktails that will, you know, support and enhance the meal.
Right. And they also have a champagne pairing along with it.
Right.
If you do like me, if you're more of that champagne person and don't want to necessarily drink wine as much as you
right.
know, sample the champagne, they have that as well. It's a little more pricey than the wine pairing.
Yeah.
But you know, and you can also just do those menus and just ask your server. They're very knowledgeable. They have a sommelier right there on spot. What would be the best wine that would kind of hit across the board for
right.
all these dishes? It won't go quite as well as the pairing with every single dish you have.
Right.
But they will suggest something. They will come up with a great option for you.
Right. You know, and one thing to keep in mind if you're doing the taste, you know, the accompanying tasting, it's not full portions of alcohol with each
no.
entree. It is, or with each of the
dishes.
Right. So it's just, it is a tasting, but it does pair beautifully. But just so you won't think, oh, I'm going to, you know, be having whatever 3 or 5, I think it's a 5-course meal, drinks, full on drinks. It's just tasting size. So I also don't want people to be disappointed thinking, oh, I should be getting a full glass of everything and you're not going to.
Right. No, it's just about the perfect amount for every single dish you
right.
try. Just a, you know, 3 or 4 sips. Just to kind of go along with the meal itself. It's
right.
really, really nice.
And remember, Parisian restaurant. So the portions of the dishes themselves are not
right.
overly abundant, but that helps really keep you feeling comfortable after going through all the courses.
And there are unannounced courses
right.
that go
some
through
bonus
there.
Things.
Yeah. So no, it may be a 5-course meal, but there's going to be more food than that.
Right.
Small bites, small things for the most part, but there's other treats
yes.
that come along as you're there. So any other thing, anything else you can think of about the food that you want to mention? I think we covered it pretty much.
Yeah, I think we covered it well.
Yeah. So let's move on to the entertainment aboard this ship. We didn't do a lot outside the Marvel Day at Sea stuff we're going to tell you about later, but we did do a couple trivias. Mm-hmm. We even won one trivia.
Yes.
A little Disney Toons trivia, which is always one of my favorites because they have a lot of times they'll do it with a live piano player playing the tunes, and it's always one of my favorite things.
Right, yeah. You have to look in the app to make sure it says live so that there's actually a performer who's playing the music.
They also had plenty of game shows, lots of activities going on board. Michelle did a little bit of the ship's Mickey's Detective Agency,
right,
or whatever
it
is.
Solving a crime.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you could go along through the ship. We saw lots of kids, lots of adults.
Yes.
Going around the ship and exploring. And it's a great way to get around the ship, explore different sites, and check out some of the art and some of this interactive stuff that happens throughout the ship.
Right. We also took in a chocolate and liqueur tasting.
Yes.
Which we've actually done on multiple times.
It's one of Michelle's favorites.
It is my favorite, yes. And I mean, it's got the world's best chocolate from France. It's the Verona brand. And you get to taste ranges from white chocolate, caramel flavored chocolate, dark chocolate, solid bites, as well as drinkable liquid chocolate. And I'm not talking hot chocolate. This is a liquefied chocolate that you then follow up with a sip of top-notch red wine. In this case, we had some from the Lassiter Winery. But they also have a lot of other varieties of tastings. If that's not, you know, calling to you, they have different rum tasting, martini, wine, champagne, bourbon, gin.
Yeah, there were tastings going on all the time.
Right, right.
All the time in all the sorts of different lounges throughout there. It was, that was the only one we did this time. But we had some possibilities and there were some great options out there.
Right.
Depending, doesn't matter if you're a wine drinker, a champagne drinker, a bourbon drinker, old fashions.
Right.
If you like mixed drinks, they have a mixology class. They have rum tastings, gin, all sorts. I could just go on and on with it all.
Right. And, you know, you can pre-book those before your cruise, but don't worry if you get on the cruise and they weren't available prior. People do cancel. You can cancel up to 24 hours in advance. And so if there's something in particular you want, try when you get on board the ship. You can go to guest services, check the app, or just keep refreshing and checking
because
it might come available.
Yep. You never know. Michelle mistakenly ran into one and she went into the Cove Cafe trying to get a cup of coffee. And apparently they were doing, I don't know, it was an old fashioned tasting
or something
up there, but you find them throughout the ship. Speaking of those lounges, since many of these tastings were held in those lounges, most of them are housed in the district. I think of the most of the ones that you think of, but what's called the district, it's on deck four aft. It was very convenient to our cabin because we just had to walk downstairs and we were right there.
Right.
It was pretty great. We didn't experience all of them, but we did experience a few of them. What did you think about the lounges on board the ship?
I thought they were pretty good. I you know, we did some things, special things that I know we're going to talk about later. And so those were the main times we were experiencing those lounges when there was some accompanying activity or show. So I thought they were good. I felt bad we didn't, other than the tasting, we didn't get to really get to try Pink, which is their champagne bar, because they do also, I saw one night they had a violinist in there. They have a Pink piano, so they have live music in there in the evenings as well. So they do have some variety of types of lounges there.
Yeah, I mean, you could do a really short pub crawl right through the district there between the district bar, Pink. There's, was it 687, which is the pub/sports bar.
Right.
There's the Skyline Lounge and Encounters, all in that area. There's like five or six bars slash lounges right in that spot where you could have a good old time just in the evenings and enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, lots of great options to check it out. We enjoyed it all. I think the only thing is that we were so busy and it was a five-day, five-night cruise. So we didn't get to explore maybe even as much as we would have liked to. Right. Like, we didn't get in the, we just saw the Skyline Lounge a couple of times. We stopped in there.
Yes.
But we didn't really get to go and have a cocktail in there. We didn't, as you mentioned, outside of the tasting, we didn't go into Pink. We wanted to do that a few times. We never got into there. We didn't get into the pub either, other than to check it out a few times.
I mean, yes.
We were just so busy. We just didn't have those chances, unfortunately. But yeah. Hopefully in the future.
Right. And they all have different things that make them special. Like the Skylight Lounge, you are looking at the skyline of major cities around the world, and they change, what they say, every 8 minutes, I think it's something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah. Like that. So you might be overlooking Paris or then New York, et cetera.
Yeah. It was really cool the times we went in there, and we should have probably experienced it more.
Right.
Just didn't get there to it. But that's okay. We had a great time anyway. So speaking of those lounges, there were some various musical acts throughout the lounges and into the, of course, the atrium and some other spaces mm-hmm. around there. What did you think about some of those musical acts?
They were good.
They were good. They're not our friend Soul Duo.
I know. They don't hit that level. But they were good. And, you know, I thought they were all appropriately placed depending on what was happening. So, for example, when they had royal gatherings, which is where you can reserve time to go see several of the princesses together in the atrium, they had a piano player, you know, so it did seem like they themed the music to what was going on in different areas as well. So I thought that was really helpful.
Yeah. That was really nice. We did do the royal gathering.
Right.
Michelle got us a spot for that so we can meet. It's if you have anybody in the family who is a princess fan like me, it's something you're gonna want to do, 'cause you can hit pictures with four princesses. Pop, 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 pop,
right.
pop. We were able to get pictures with Ariel, with Mulan, with Belle, and with Cinderella. Right
yes.
there all in a row. And yes, the piano playing right under it. It was really, really nice.
Yeah, right underneath the chandelier. It was perfect setting.
Yeah. Speaking of those pictures, we did do many pictures because we decided to go ahead, since we knew this was going to be the Marvel Day at Sea, and we were probably going to want some pictures of that, get a photo package of that. So we did pit maybe a few more photos than we would normally do on a regular cruise, right, Michelle?
Right, yeah. We actually looked for more opportunities. Surprisingly, we didn't do the come as you go on aboard, which we probably...
We just wanted to get on board.
Yeah, we just wanted to get on board. But yeah, they have a lot of photo opportunities, and within the app, you can see which characters are around in which areas, and they do try to do different types of things. So like we saw Captain Minnie, but other times we saw Minnie, like at the Golden Mickey's, she's dressed a little more formally. So it does, you'll see the characters maybe wearing different attire based on some things going on during the day. So you might want to have more opportunities because they have some costume changes.
And of course, you never know when you might turn that corner and there's a character there. We've ran into that many times, saw that many times where there's just characters roaming around.
Right,
you know,
really.
They're usually kind of going in between destinations. But that doesn't mean you can't snap a selfie with them, snap
right.
a quick picture with them. They're very, very warm in that regard if you should run into them. You know,
right, exactly.
Sometimes they have places to be, but that doesn't mean they won't stop for a second and take a quick picture with you.
Right. And like at the parks, they do have times and it's designated, so you know when to go, that they have the special magic shots for the photographers. So they're not doing it all the time. So don't think that when you're, you know, at every character or every location, you're going to get a magic shot. But if you check the app, you'll know when they
yep.
are offering it. And
exactly.
they do offer it for blocks, large blocks of time.
I think my favorite random character running around was, we were in line for a different photo. I think we were in line for Pluto. I'm trying to remember what it was. And there is Donald. He was just
yes.
going up to guest services, and he was going onto the dance floor, and he was just mingling with
right.
everybody. Like, it wasn't a designated thing at all. It seemed
exactly.
like, but he was just having the good old time. Everybody was loving on Donald.
Yep.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. Those cool experiences.
It's those things that set Disney Cruise Line apart
right.
from other cruise lines, if you're a Disney fan. So there were movies on board. This was one of the rare cruises where we didn't pause to actually go watch
right.
a movie, but there were many options. Many Marvel options
mm-hmm.
were there. They also had like Elemental. Wish was there. Unfortunately, Wish we wanted to see,
right.
but Wish, the show times didn't blend well with our schedule.
Right.
So unfortunately, we didn't get to see it when we were on board, but I know there were plenty of options, and that's always the one of the biggest perks of being on a Disney cruise, is getting to watch their movies in a nice theater right there with no extra charge.
Right.
Like some other cruises exactly. do for you.
Yes, yes.
It's really, really a perk.
And obviously they have, and I know the Dillos talked about this when they shared their experiences on the Disney cruises outside by the pool. They also have their some movies being played on the big screens out there as well.
Yep. Movies and sometimes shows.
Right.
Television shows, Disney Plus shows. You just never know what's going to be on there, but it's all on your schedule. You can check it out. Find out what's right. And some, a lot of these we've seen already, but it's kind of nice to when you're just by the pool.
Like, right.
I'm going to catch 15 minutes of Moana while
exactly.
it's on there.
Exactly. Yes.
Or, whatever it might be.
Right.
Really nice. Let's talk about the main shows, because we need to talk about the main shows aboard mm-hmm. the Disney Dream, because there are three of them. Two we've seen before, the Golden Mickeys, which we've seen many, many times. Mm-hmm. Believe, which we'd seen before, I think on the Fantasy,
right.
I believe, where we've seen. And they also have a Beauty and the Beast show. I want to talk about the Golden Mickeys real quickly, because I love the Golden Mickeys. It's a great show. We weren't sure we were going to go. It was the night of Palo. We didn't know if we'd be done with Palo in time to go see it, but we decided we got done with Palo. Right. It was time. We went and got seats. I love the Golden Mickeys. It's not my favorite show, but it is a classic. It's a great, one of those shows that has some great heart behind it. And it is a great way to see a lot of your favorite Disney characters and hear a lot of their songs right at the beginning. Unless there's someone behind you that decides that they're in their own living room
right.
and wants to talk all the way through that show. The entire show. It was unfortunate. If this could be my tip of the day, please remember when you're in a theater that you're not at home in your living room. Just be a little courteous. Remember, there's other people around you trying to maybe enjoy the show and listen,
right.
and get involved in the show. I mean, I get it. There was a father with his son, and his son was very exciting and wanting to talk. And I get it. The kids get that way, and I totally get it. But this father was almost encouraging the son to talk more. And they were talking, not whispering. They were talking loudly.
Right. Every time a character came out, they announced the character, and then they talked about what they've seen the character in and do. And everything about the character, and it was like, oh, really?
And I get kids. Kids get excited. I have zero problem with that. I expect it. We know where we're in for with it. But when the father is encouraging it a little bit more, that's when it got a little bit too much.
Yeah.
So please just, it didn't ruin the show for us, but it didn't make it great. Please remember where you are.
Yeah.
And this goes for movie theaters too, because we've seen that more and more. We've gone to Broadway, not Broadway, but Broadway style shows, like at the theater, local theaters, the traveling troupes, where it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Things have kind of been weird since COVID. I mean, it was starting before COVID, but since then I think people have shifted a little bit. So just, be polite.
Yes.
Be smart.
Make it fun for everybody. Yep. But the one thing about the Golden Mickeys, if you've never been on a Disney cruise before, you won't want to miss it, because it is.
It's great.
Like Tom said, we've probably seen it close to half dozen times at least. And so it's something for us we've seen multiple times. And they do some updates, every once in a while. But if you've never been on a Disney cruise, it is a great way to start the cruise. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Like I said, great way to see all your favorite characters. There are some emotional moments,
sweet
moments. It's really, really nice.
Yeah.
It's a great show. Believe is the show that kind of goes on the last night. And that kind of sums everything up. But just like Golden Mickey's kind of kicks things off your vacation, Believe kind of wraps up it's the heartfelt, really wonderful, warm Disney show. Again, a lot of characters, a lot of your favorite songs, but there's a storyline that has a wonderful message within it. And they do one of these shows virtually on every ship, and they always get me. They always get me. It was really, really good.
Exactly. It's very, as Tom was talking about, very captivating storytelling approach, where they can bring out performers from all different types and genres of Disney films. Really hits the nostalgia sense that we all have. And as Tom mentioned, it has that story of how, you know, I guess what I'd say is the narrative is that we really become so entangled in our own lives and the complexity of lives that we overlook those magical moments or times that we can share with loved ones. And so this really brings that forward, and it definitely will put a lump in your throat.
Oh yeah, no question. Finally, the show we haven't talked about yet. While I thought it was going to be good, it surprised me mm-hmm. how excellent it was. That's Beauty and the Beast. So it's basically stage, you know, it's not the Broadway version. It's a truncated version, but it was a little bit more based. I think this one was a little more based on the live action than the animated, if you looked at it a little bit. But it hit everything you want from Beauty and the Beast. I thought it was spectacular, and the cast was phenomenal. The cast was phenomenal for all these shows, but they were perfect on this show.
Yeah, very incredibly talented, definitely Broadway caliber performers. I think some of the things that made this one very unexpectedly wonderful is, first of all, stage scenery. Like when you think of, especially on a cruise ship, you know, there was restrictions because of the, you know, how do you move furniture and sets on a moving boat and things like that, and being understanding that you'd have to be prepared on rocky seas to be able to do this. And so in the past, they would hold a scene in one location for an extended time because they wanted to, you know, look for a good transition, but not have to do it over and over. Well, now with high-tech screens and very movable structures, these scenes are much more fluid and easy to change rapidly. I mean, for example, we saw it very instantly move from Belle at the beginning, where she's strolling through the town square, to where she's suddenly in the countryside at the home of, you know, where her and her father live. And it just is amazing to see how they've created these sets that through, you know, visuals and movable furnitures and structures, et cetera.
And projections that, and some other
that
things.
That it just makes that ability to change scenes rapidly to happen.
Yeah. It was super impressive. Great show. Well done. They hit all the songs you want to hear. Of course, Gaston.
Yeah.
Be Our Guest, of course. Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
You know, all the things you expect. Belle, of course, at the beginning. It was phenomenal. It's one of my favorite shows I think I've ever seen aboard Disney Cruise Line. I was super impressed.
Yes, yes, me too. I because we've seen some of their other Broadway style shows that are truncated versions of some of their other stories. This I was expecting good, but this was exceptional.
Yeah.
And it's funny, you said it seemed more live action to you. I felt more connected with the original.
That's good that they kind of hit
animated.
Across. I think they kind of hit both. So if you love the animated, you kind of got that feel out of it. If you enjoyed the live action, you kind of got that feel out of it. I think that to me, it was like maybe because it was the puppets, which were great.
Right.
Kind of looked a little bit more like the live action. Belle's original outfit was a little more like the live action.
Right, that is
outfit.
True. There was some.
It was kind of a little more of that. Maybe that's why I felt that way. But either way, doesn't matter if you're a fan of Beauty and the Beast, you are going to love this show. I really believe it.
Right. And so and they do bring out some of the at least one of the additional songs that isn't in the original animated version. So more of the Broadway. Production.
But we were super impressed with the performers, the cast throughout the entire sailing. Every time they seemed to one-up themselves on how good they were.
Right,
it was amazing.
Right, yes.
So
super talented.
Yeah, credit to them. They helped make this cruise that much better. Ports really quickly, just want to hit up. We didn't really do anything in the ports. We went into Castaway Cay. Castaway Cay is Castaway Cay.
Right.
It's the perfect beach day. We had beautiful weather. We got very lucky. We got really lucky with the weather throughout this cruise. Smooth seas, nice temperatures, cool breezes.
Yes.
It was really perfect.
Yes, perfect.
We did stop also at Grand Cayman. Which we've been to before. We love Grand Cayman, but we just decided we wanted to. It's a short cruise. We didn't want to try and fit that in as well. So that was our nice pool day. We just did not bother with that, but it doesn't mean it's not a great spot if you ever want to make this cruise and stop off in Grand Cayman. There are some great things to do there.
Yeah, they have wonderful expeditions and things that you can do with hitting different age ranges. And, you know, I think they really knew with this one being Marvel Day at Sea during kind of the spring break time, they definitely had some great things that even smaller kids could do for excursions.
They always do. They always find some stuff that can hit across the board, whether you want more of an adult adventure on shore or whether you want something for the entire families, they will be something there for you. The adult spaces were great on board the ship. We loved the Cove Cafe. The adult pool was great. Mm-hmm. I think like when we sailed aboard the Wish not that long ago, it seemed like it was an adult heavy cruise. This seemed like more of a family heavy cruise. So the adult spaces for us were a little more easygoing, I think. Satellite Falls, which if you've never been to Satellite Falls on board a Disney ship, they're on the Disney Fantasy. It's on the Disney Dream. It's one of the most peaceful places you're going to find on board ship. And half the people on board don't know anything about it.
Right. It's kind of like, it's kind of tucked away or hidden. But yeah, the adult sections for the Fantasy and the Dream are wonderful, as well as for the original ships. I think the Wish is the one that when we noticed that it wasn't seeming to be, I don't know if some of it was flow issues of the design, but it also seemed very smaller, but not necessarily intimate smaller, but more crowded smaller.
It's hard to say for sure. That's the way it felt. I still debate on whether, because like I said, it was an adult heavy sailing as opposed to family sailing. Like if it had been this group of passengers, if it would have felt the same way, it might have. We do think the Wish is a bit disjointed. It's still a beautiful, wonderful ship. We'd rather sail on it than a lot of other ships out there, not talking necessarily Disney. It's probably not our favorite Disney ship, but the other ships, rather sail aboard the Wish. But this one, it's laid out. We've been on the Fantasy a couple times, hadn't been on the Dream. It's laid out virtually identically.
Right.
And it really works really well.
Yes.
We enjoy it very much. So before we move on to the Marvel Day at Sea, overall thoughts on the Disney Dream since this was our first time aboard it?
Yeah, I think it was spectacular. I think it hit on everything that you'd want to experience on a Disney cruise. And even if we didn't have that other day, let's say this was kind of like a 4-day cruise, I thought it was wonderful and had so much to offer and make us happy.
Yeah, I loved it. I wasn't sure how I was going to feel because it's been so much the 3-4 days and that should affect the way the ship is, whether it's beautiful or not. I always just concerned about ships that do only 3 and 4 days, that maybe that's something different about them, that maybe they're built for that. But nah, this was a ship that would have been great for 7 days, 9 days, 15 days. I don't care. It's a great ship. We love the Fantasy. We now love the Dream. I'm not going to rank them. We love all the Disney cruise ships. We were very impressed, I think.
Exactly.
I think we'd say that. Okay. We've made you wait like an hour.
I know.
So let's go ahead and get to our Marvel Day at Sea. And let me just start off by saying, wow, is my thoughts on the Marvel Day at Sea.
I know, exactly. Well, it's funny because before the cruise, I remember you mentioning, just how anxious you were to be on a cruise, that the fact that it was Marvel Day wasn't, that they had a Marvel Day, that it wasn't, as big of a deal. You wanted to go on a cruise. But I think what you and I experienced was that Marvel Day at Sea was so phenomenal and well done and offered so many great things that it really was the cherry on top of this cruise. Well,
let me preface that by what we've experienced in the past, because we've done some themed cruises. We've done Halloween on the High Seas, which is fun, but I don't think they go over, it's great for the kids.
Right.
They do have some fun shows, some other cool stuff that happens throughout the cruise. It's nice. The decorations are fantastic. But it's not like it's a wow.
Right.
Okay. We've done the Very Merry Time cruises. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Decorations are great. Some fun holiday stuff going on throughout it, and everything. But, it's good. Would I base it just because it's a very merry time cruise? I don't know. I base it on like, oh, it's nice to sail during the holidays.
Right,
so it's nice.
Right. Especially for families, maybe a bunch of families getting together. Yeah.
I think my hesitation on it, and it shouldn't have been gone this way, but it was because our very first, not our very first theme cruise, but one of the first theme cruises that we did based kind of like this was our Star Wars Day at Sea cruise, which was the inaugural one.
Right.
So it was the very first one. Of course, there are going to be some bumps in the road as you're trying to figure that all out. And it was great. Don't get me wrong. I have really, really fond memories, wonderful memories of our Star Wars Day at Sea. There were some, you know, the John Williams music playing in the hall throughout that day. All the different roaming characters. They added the Imperial March to the horn of the Disney Fantasy at that time. The movies playing was great in all the theaters, seeing some of the classics that we haven't seen on a big screen in a long time. You know, the theme dinner, the nighttime show was cool, but it was kind of like a, here's this character and here's that character and here's this character. And then there's fireworks and, that was fine. It was cool to see all the characters and cheer and, you know, some all your favorites. And that was great. But it wasn't a wow. Let's fast forward ahead to this opportunity, Marvel Day at Sea. The characters were spectacular. They had most of your favorite Marvel characters either at a set photo opportunity time. Sometimes you had to pre-reserve them. Sometimes they would just be set and you could find them in there. There were several roaming characters as well, which was always fun. It's always fun to find a roaming character, but you know, like we went into Shutters just turning around to go, where are we going? And there's Doctor Strange.
Right.
And I'm like, cool. Can we get a selfie with you? No one around him.
Yes.
Like, this is Doctor Strange.
Right.
And we had a fun And the other thing about that is you get to have a time where you get to have a fun conversation. They are so interactive because virtually every one of them is a face character.
Right.
So they are so interactive. It's so amazing to get the chance to kind of connect with them.
Right. You know, and, you know, as Tom mentioned, what's really nice is, before the cruise, you can pre-book some time for some of the bigger named characters and to have the time to have photo ops. And they will, you know, they do have the photo pass photographer there, but they will also take photos with your camera or with your phone while you're there. And you get to interact with those. And as Tom mentioned, the roaming ones. And then during throughout the cruise, not just on that day, they would have on the app, you could see which of the Marvel characters would be in a certain location that you could also go over and get some photos or talk to, autographs. A lot of people were doing autographs and
Yeah. So here's some of the characters. So we did we booked photo opportunities with Guardians of the Galaxy. So we got Star-Lord and Groot.
Right.
We saw later
adult
that
Groot. Big Groot.
Big Groot. Who will talk to you? He'll tell you he is Groot. I am Groot. In different tones, which is phenomenal. He'll chuckle too, which is great. I did see also that Gamora would come out there at times for some other people that were out there. We also visited Asgard, where we got to Thor and Mighty Thor. So Jane Foster, who ended up becoming Mighty Thor, we had a photo opportunity. I believe that sometimes it was also Loki was there replacing, I think, Mighty Thor. Maybe it's Thor and Loki. I'm sure. And then we also, this was a different day we had this booked for. So just know your Marvel Day continues, not just on the day at sea.
Right.
We ended up having photos with Spider-Man and with Iron Man.
Right.
Which was nice. Those were just the ones you kind of had to pre-book. You could also, there were photos like we got photos with Shang-Chi. We had photos with T'Challa, the Black Panther. There were other opportunities. I know Miss Marvel was there. We recently had photos with Miss Marvel, so we didn't stop for that one. But she's always a wonderful conversation as well.
Oh, for sure.
But the Ant-Man and the Wasp were there. We just told you, Doctor Strange, Okoye from Black Panther is around. Captain Marvel we ran into and had a wonderful conversation about naming Flurkins.
That's right. Just another roaming character there. Yeah. Yes.
And many, many more that we didn't even all see.
They had different Captain Americas.
Yes.
Around.
Steve Rogers and Sam Wilson, both Captain Americas you could get pictures with.
Yes. Just tons of, we could keep naming on and on, but different times throughout the cruise, they had those characters.
We ran into Black Widow and Hawkeye just strolling around there just, you know, at one point. And unfortunately, we couldn't get a picture of them because we had to run off to our next thing.
Right.
They were right there as well. It was really, really cool. Characters were everywhere. And like I said, they're super interactive, super conversational.
Yep.
They get right down with the kids. They're really, really excellent.
It's amazing.
They get right down there and they talk with them, and it's spectacular. So that was great. Photo ops were great. There were also some photo ops where we had magic shots.
Right.
Where you could have different superhero powers
added
to you, which were great.
Crazy
as well.
Wonderful.
Different backdrops. Photo ops were great. The entertainment, there were several different shows that we saw. Some okay, some excellent.
Right.
We saw the Doctor Strange Academy, which was cute. I kind of called it classic Disney Channel Marvel.
Right.
You know, if you if you combine a Marvel show with classic Disney Channel, that was kind of the feel about it, because it was like these high schoolers graduating from the Doctor Strange Academy, and Wong was there, and of course Stephen Strange makes his appearance and everything.
Yeah, yeah, it's a cute little show.
Yeah, it was cute. Not my favorite show, but it was cute. I enjoyed it. Late at night, we had the Ravagers Club, which was
in one of the lounges,
a dance club in one of the lounges. I enjoyed the show from the beginning. The one thing I wish they had done is because it could have easily carried it into a dance party going on, basically using the mixtape or whatever.
Right.
And then they kind of get more modern music, and it wasn't like, it didn't fit as much after the Ravagers Club part of it, show was done. It was fun while we were there, but I just thought it could have been better. But I enjoyed the part of it where some things happen. I'm not going to spoil everything for you.
Right, yeah.
One of our favorite things that we saw was the USO show.
Star-Spangled USO show.
Yes. Thank you for giving me the entire name. And it's, if you've seen the first Avenger, the first Captain America movie, you kind of got an idea of what this show is. And let me tell you, it is spectacular.
Yeah, it is. So it's, you know, on the movie where it's a very big stage show. That's not what this is. This is intimate experience. You're in one of the lounges, and they really do a great job of transporting you back in time to like the 1920s.
A lot of swing, a lot of 30s, 40s
sounds,
music.
Yeah. Yes, and the cast is supporting that same kind of a show. But like I said, it's very intimate feeling, and you're just right there in the lounge close to the stage getting to see all of this take place. And there is even a brief visit by the Man with a Plan himself.
The Star-Spangled Man with a Plan.
Yeah So
and he is great when he shows up. Oh, I guess we're spoiling it. When he shows up, it's everything.
Yeah, we're not telling you what it is, but he does. I mean, they even tell you he might be there. I mean, you know he's going to be there and everything. But it just was such a really cool show, you know, to be experiencing singing and dancing with the songs of that era, and really feeling like you're taking place or being, you know, you're a part of it. You, like I said, you're immersed into that experience.
Now, before we get into the nighttime show, I want to talk a little bit about something. I mean, the food is kind of an entertainment piece of it. It's kind of a show, especially for this dinner, because they do have a themed dinner in whatever dining room we were in. We were in Animator's Palette. I think it actually worked perfectly for this. I think it would have been better than being in the Royal Palace for this, because it kind of fits. They were able to put a Marvel Day at Sea thing on all the screens that are there and everything. The menu is cool because it's like a comic book. You open it up and they have pictures. It's very colorful. And then there's like two dishes per almost, not every character, but for many of the characters, they like
big
all
characters.
Have,
yeah.
Yeah. Kind of a theme to the characters, and that's appetizer, soup, salads, entrees, desserts, everything. What did you think about the menu and the food from the Marvel night?
Well, first of all, I was surprised at just how many selections that they had. It was just a ton. I mean, usually, like I said, you know, like I talked to earlier, you can have like maybe three or four different appetizers. This, they had way more than that. they had two per character, and I think they had like four or five characters just for appetizers alone. So I was really impressed with the amount and the variety of foods that you could get during one meal. And I thought, you know, like with all the food, there was some hit or miss, some things that were really highlights that were great. And then, you know, the rest was really pretty good. But I just loved the whole theming and how it you know, played out.
Yeah. I thought it was a fun theme. The right. food was okay. You know, it was the dining room food.
Yeah.
It was some hits, some, right. They're fine. Nothing terrible. They're fine. But just the fun of it all, you know, I mean, just yeah. the menu and the fun. And then there's some cool little things with the food and everything that they do. I enjoyed it. I thought the food was fine. That's kind of part of it. But now I want to get to this part because this is what capped the evening for me and made this so magical. Mm-hmm. Because as I already mentioned, we did the inaugural Star Wars Day at Sea. We had a nighttime show on mm-hmm. deck with fireworks on that. And it was cool. You got to see a lot of characters, like right. I said. And that's exactly what I expected here. You know, here's Captain America, and here's Black Widow, and right. here's Star-Lord. And, you know, you're just going to go through, and then, boom, fireworks afterwards. You know, that was my expectation. They absolutely blew my expectation of mm-hmm. the show completely out of the water. There was a storyline that brought all these different characters in, and allowed them to interact. And right. we're talking not only good guys, villains as well.
Right.
They had a moment that I'm still thinking about today that absolutely wrecked me that I didn't know
right.
I needed.
Right.
But was so warm and wonderful. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, but oh my gosh, when it happens, oh,
yeah,
it's a heartbreaking moment.
Yeah, it was a touch that they added that was just so incredible.
Right.
We don't want to spoil that for right. anybody.
All sorts of things, all different. Look around the entire ship. There's things happening all around above you, on the stage, behind you. There is stuff going on everywhere. And then an excellent fireworks show to cap it off. This may sound hyperbolic. It's not, in my view. This was the best deck nighttime show that Disney has ever done. Disney Cruise Line has ever done.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. You know, you can appreciate the show from wherever you're standing, or the people could find places to sit on deck. If you really want the primo spot, you have to go so super early.
Get there like an hour at least early.
At least an hour early before the show. And, you know, if you want to be on there's two different levels. If you want to be on the upper level, right on the railing, you really have to get there early. You have to go to the early dinner, I think, to be able to secure that. But you could still see very well because they had giant screens as well. And you could see the stage fairly well from anywhere that you were at. But as Tom mentioned, it was storytelling at its best. It was a really unique way to have different genres of Marvel characters be able to have some appearance in front of the audience and have a role in what was going on. And so it was very cool, very unique how they came up with the storyline that could, you know, thread that through.
I mean, we did some things after that, and there was the entire day was spectacular, right. but that nighttime punctuation
yes.
was incredible.
Right.
Absolutely incredible. And I'm so happy of what Disney Cruise Line could do with storytelling to make this work, to get all these characters yes. in and show up and make it make sense.
Right. Yes. It was very smooth.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I mean, this as well as the Pirate Night, you got to consider the Pirate Deck Party also. It's late at night. I think they both start at 10 o'clock or around that time at night. I know it's really tough, especially for small kids. You know, if there is a way that you can get them to nap, because it's something you really don't want to miss. But I know that, you know, sometimes everybody's excited in the moment and napping might not fall into place. But it is, it's also understandable how they have to do. It's such a big production show that they can't do it multiple shows, like, you know, something that they're doing in the theater. So it has to be set at a time that people from both dining seating times can can make it to yeah. it.
100% loved Marvel Day at yeah. Sea. We'll do it again at some point. I don't think right. it's going to be the next thing we're going to book, but I thought this was going to be possibly a one and done for us. Excited to do it, but you know, okay, we've done that. Let's move on to the next thing, but I would totally do this again.
Yeah.
It was a blast. Highly recommend you do it too. If you have Marvel fans in the family, definitely check it out. And this cruise, as we mentioned, you can have a family that loves Marvel and some members that love the princesses. You still get both on this cruise.
Right.
You know, you get your chances to do, you know, your classic Disney characters, your princesses, plus all these wonderful superheroes throughout that. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, it really is. And, yeah. And if you are a Marvel fan, this is something you'll definitely want to do. But like Tom said, we would do it again. There's a lot of other opportunities of things that we didn't get to do related to Marvel, as well as some of the other parts of the cruise. So it's definitely very amazing. And we would totally recommend it.
Loved it. Disney Cruise Line. Thank you for doing it. It's fantastic. Now, after seeing this and experiencing this day, here's my plea to Disney Cruise Line. Please bring back Star Wars Day.
Yes.
Please do. I know that there were some issues. I think that they couldn't make the show work maybe the way they wanted to at night. And there's some things. I think they don't want to cross over so many characters from different time periods right. or whatever. But I think that they're loosening their maybe the reins on that a little bit. But I also think, you know, now, you know, before it was just kind of in Rebels, but now we've seen it with, you know, live action Ahsoka. The fact that the world between worlds exists and people mm-hmm. know about it
right.
is a very easy tool for you to tell a story on stage where you can start bringing in all these characters and you could tell even a better story out there.
Right, right.
But plus, it would just be a fantastic day at sea, Star Wars Day at Sea. Please bring it back. I don't know why it's gone completely away, but I think you have the tools in place to really do some wonderful storytelling and bring out some of these characters and showcase a lot of these characters that we're seeing now on Disney Plus, especially that haven't been on the ship since, you know, since Star Wars Day at Sea went away.
Right. 100%.
So yeah. That's my plea out there. But back to Marvel Day at Sea. What was your overall thoughts on it?
Oh, it was amazing. It was wonderful. Yes. We were fortunate that weather was, perfect for it, but I think even regardless of that, it would be a fun vacation
yeah.
for anybody. And even if you're not a Marvel fan, there are plenty of other things going on board that are not necessarily Marvel themed that you could still have an amazing trip.
100%. It was great. Loved it. Loved it so much. It blew my expectations out of the water. I didn't mean to mention out of the yeah. water. Especially don't want to talk about blowing a ship out of the water, but right, you right. know what I mean. It was phenomenal. I loved it so much. I was very, very sad to leave this ship. I just yes. had such a great, great time aboard this and can't wait for the next Disney cruise. If you have any thoughts or any questions about Marvel Day at Sea Cruise or Disney Cruise Line in general, please hit us up, Gmail account, social media. We would be happy to answer them, and we may even bring them up on an upcoming show.
Yeah, and if there's things that we've missed that you think are highlights, we'd love to hear your thoughts too.
Yeah. So that is our 5-night Marvel Day at Sea Disney Cruise recap. Such a great cruise, had such a wonderful time. Just can't tell you how fun it was, right, Michelle?
For sure.
For sure. But we've talked a lot.
I know.
But before we get to the Disney stories of the week, we need to talk about our great friend Nate with Main Street and More Travel. Because let's face it, we all have trips we're thinking about taking in the very near future. Well, if you do, whether it be to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, or anywhere in the world beyond, let me tell you, Nate is the certified Disney vacation planner that you are going to want to get in contact with.
Oh my gosh, for sure. You know, as we, you know, mention all the time, he really has firsthand knowledge of things, so he can really help you plan customize a trip that is going to be the best for you, answer your questions. It's really concierge level planning that doesn't cost you anything.
High end. It is high end stuff that he will help you out with, answer all your questions. He is there for you to make sure your trip, wherever it may be the best it possibly can be. And as Michelle mentioned, no extra cost to you. That's because either Disney or whatever other travel branch that he works through pays him for you. What you end up paying is exactly what you pay. If you did all that work yourself, only you can save that time and just relax and enjoy and let him set it all up for you.
Right. And you know what? He may even be able to save you some money from you doing it alone because he is on top of all the deals and steals that are out there.
Yeah. I mean, there's never a guarantee, but let me tell you, if there's a discount out there, Nate will find it for you. So what you got to do is go to DizTripsAndMore.com, fill out the form there, and just contact him. Talk to him. Tell him what you want to do and let him get to work for you.
Right. So as Tom mentioned, once you fill out that form, Nate will be back in touch with you to start that planning. But be sure to tell him that Tom and Michelle sent you.
Yeah. Again, that's Nate with Main Street and More Travel. And of course, Nate did such a wonderful job of helping us set up this cruise, right, setting up our next cruise. We have a placeholder going to him for the cruise after that. And he helped us. We told you already in this episode how he helped us make sure we got those lounge chairs right that we wanted. So yeah, if you're looking for a certified Disney vacation planner, Nate is great. Now, on to the Disney stories of the week. Luckily, I only have a couple, so we can get through this quickly because we talked a lot about the cruise. I'll start with, you will soon be able to travel to all new destinations in a galaxy far, far away. This from the Disney Parks blog. They said, starting on April 5th, 2024, at the Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, and Disneyland Paris, Star Tours, The Adventures Continue, will be taking you to some all-new adventures. These new additions will feature characters and locations from some of your favorite Disney Plus new series, Ahsoka, Andor, and The Mandalorian. Yeah.
This is the way.
Yes. With these additions, you'll now have an opportunity to experience one of more than 250 storyline variations. Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Aboard the attraction, including a visit to the planet Peridia from the Ahsoka series. So that's the one that the Purrgils, the space whales, take them to.
Nice.
I can't wait. It's coming. It's very soon.
Right.
I can't wait. Urgent transmissions from Ahsoka Tano, Cassian Andor, and Din Djarin and Grogu may soon be a part of your next Starspeeder flight. These iconic characters will continue to add to the galaxy of stories aboard Disney's first Star Wars attraction. So fun. Yes. So excited to check that out for ourselves.
Yeah, I'm just really happy that they're keep updating it as time goes on and things come up. And it's really still a very fun attraction.
It's interesting, too, because we were at Destination D23. We heard that Ahsoka was being added. Right. So we knew that was coming. I didn't know that Cassian Andor and Andor was coming to it. And it doesn't surprise me that the Mandalorian's coming. But it's still, it's like, wow, that was not announced.
Yeah,
so that's
very
good
cool.
news. Good news. Finally, just real quickly, Disney says season 2 of Monsters at Work,
what?
One of our favorite Disney Plus underrated shows, has so much heart, and our son Scott loves it very much. That will be premiering on Friday, April 5th. April 5th is a big day between Star Tours and Monsters at Work coming back, both on Disney Channel, and it'll be on May 5th on Disney Plus.
Yeah. No, that's so great. And, you know, if you haven't seen it before, I have to say, the first time I saw them through, I thought, oh, that's cute. But when I watched again and really appreciated so much more the details that they put together, I love that series so much.
Yep. It's a lot of fun. And it has a lot of heart
behind
it. And it's funny, too. And like I said, our son, Scott, loves that. He loves that show. So we're going to be happy for a season 2 return here coming up very, very soon. So that's it for the Disney stories of the week. However, we never leave you without giving you some sort of tip that might help you on your next vacation. And when we do this, we always start with Michelle because she's wonderful, fantastic, all things great in the world. You know she does the best lists. As I mentioned, you just heard it. She plans the best Disney cruises. She also definitely has the very best tip. So let's get to it. Here's Michelle's tip of the week.
So my tip of the week, I'm still in cruise mode here, and I want to share something that could help your vacation. on a Disney cruise ship. Now, we talked about that we purchased the photo package, which gave us digital downloads for all of the photos that we had taken with the photo pass photographers. Well, before your cruise, you can actually pre-purchase at a discount this type of package that would allow you to take, you know, get all the downloads of all the pictures you have taken. And that pre-purchase, like I said, is at a discount. Now, let's say you get on the cruise and as you're cruising, you either don't find yourself getting as many of the photos as you were expecting, or maybe you just didn't like how most of them were looking. You don't have to stick with that. As long as before your cruise ends, you haven't downloaded the photos, you can go to Shutters, which is their photography area, and have that change to either where you don't have any of them, or you can go to smaller packages of like 5, 10, 15. I think they go 5, 10, 15, maybe 20. And so have a smaller package instead of including all of them and save a little money that way if you're not really happy with all the photos or don't feel like it's worth it. And if you have a Disney Visa card, those other packages, you get a discount. So anyways, either way, you can try to save some money but have opportunities for photos on a Disney cruise.
There are so many great photos on a Disney cruise that get taken. And so, you know, if you want to get a bunch of them, those photo packages are a very, very helpful way that for sure. One other way, I guess this will be my tip of the week as well, and it has to deal with those same photo situations. And this is something we experience as well on board. Yes, of course, there'll be those great Disney photo pass photographers there on Disney Cruise, and they do a fantastic job of lighting and setting it all up, and those are probably going to be the best pictures that are taken there. But if you don't want to spend all that money on those photos, just know that still on Disney Cruise Line, when you go there and get posed with a lot of these characters, a lot of times if there's a photo pass photographer, there's also somebody else there that will be more than willing to grab your phone, grab your camera, and snap some pictures for you as well. And they are happy to do so. And they'll even will shoot some video sometimes of you having your kids having a conversation with the character or you having a conversation with the character. Get some more candid photos as well. So take advantage of that as well while you're aboard Disney Cruise.
There might be some pearls in there that even if you have the photo package.
Do them both.
Yes.
Then you'll know what you need to decide to purchase the photos or you just use the photos that you have on your camera or phone.
Exactly.
So that's it for this week's show. Next week, well, it's our 300th episode. Woo-hoo. Our 300th official episode, I should say. We're not going to do the live episode this week. We will be doing that eventually, but it's not going to be this week. But that's okay because we're excited. We have two of our favorite friends of the Disney community that are going to be joining us because they recently took their first ever trip to Disneyland.
Right.
We can't wait to hear about their experiences, what they enjoyed or maybe didn't like as much. They're huge Walt Disney World people. Now they went to Disneyland. How does it compare? How does it contrast? We'll find out from Keenan and Rachel, formerly a Part of Our World podcast. You know them, you love them. We can't wait to have them back on the Hyperion Adventures podcast.
Exactly. It's going to be fun time having them there.
For sure. Can't wait for next week. We're going to enjoy talking with them. As for this week's show, we appreciate that you join us today. In the future, you can find us most everywhere you get podcasts. However, the very best place to find us is on our own website, HyperionAdventuresPodcast.com. Also, we are on social media. We are on Twitter.
You mean X.
Twitter at Hyperion Podcast, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Hyperion Adventures Podcast. If you are on Facebook, come on over and join us for some good, positive Disney energy fun on our Hyperion Adventures Facebook group. Also, we're on YouTube. If you want to find us there, we're at Hyperion Adventures Podcast. And if you ever want to contact us for any reason, please hit us up at our Gmail account, HyperionAdventuresPodcast@gmail.com.
And if you'd like to support our podcast, there are different tiers of our Patreon group that you're can easily join either through going to our website or going to our Linktree account on our social media sites.
Yep, just go to the profile page. You'll find that there. Love all our Patreon
members. Yes, appreciate it.
And love you all. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Hyperion Adventures podcast. We look forward to sharing some time with you again next week. Until that time, I'm Tom.
I'm Michelle.
And we hope that you have a magical week.
Bye.